Well, if you have your Bibles tonight, look with me to the book of 2 Timothy, and we're going to look at this at the third chapter, 2 Timothy chapter number 3. If you're able to stand with me, let's all stand together for the reading of the scriptures here. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, and I want to begin reading with verse number 1. The Bible says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, tardy, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifested unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." But then verse 14, 15, and 16 is what I'm going to preach about tonight. Amen. I want to preach a message entitled, "How to Survive in Perilous Times." How to not really survive, I want to change that to say, how to thrive in perilous times. Because I don't think God wants us just to survive in it, amen? But I think that He wants us to survive in perilous times. And I want to show it to you right here from the Scriptures. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're so thankful and grateful, Lord, for You to bring us out here once again tonight. We're just so thankful and grateful because You're so good to us, Lord. You're just so sweet and loving, and You're just wonderful. Lord, You just fill our hearts, Lord, with all these wonderful things. We get to sing these beautiful songs. And Lord, just rejoice in testimony and fellowship with Your people. And Lord, thank You so much, Lord, for making it all possible. Thank You for the Holy Scriptures, Lord, and what they mean to us, Lord. And as we look at these verses, bless our hearts with them, Lord. Help us to grasp something that we need, so we can be all that we ought to be and what we need to be in this world that we're living in today. Save the lost if need be. Reclaim the backslider. Revive the Christian. Strengthen our faith. For we ask it all in the precious name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Go ahead and be seated. Thank you so much for standing with me. Now the Bible says here, now of course Paul is writing to this young preacher Timothy, and I find myself really just enjoying studying and reading these two books because so much of my life is involved with ministry. And Paul is really, this is like the church manual, 1 and 2 Timothy. And he says to this young man, Timothy, he says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." So I think it would be very safe to say that we're probably living in the last days of the last days. Amen. And then he says to us, these times are going to be grievous. They're going to be troublesome. They're going to be dangerous times. He says, in the last days, perilous times shall come. You see, it is the description of a day and a time that are difficult and dangerous and trying and troublesome, times when it will be difficult for Christians to keep their lives or in any kind of a good conscience because of the abundance of evil that these times make for us, times that make it perilous. Now, I want you to look at this list here, beginning with verse number 2, And I want to just give you just a little bit of a definition behind these words, and you're going to see how they really describe the time in which we live. He says, remember, know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. And then these next verses here are going to tell us what make them so dangerous, what makes them so perilous. And he says, this is what they are. Here's why they're going to be perilous. Because men for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Amen. And you can take that two ways. One, in absolute perversion. And then secondly, that they're just in love with themselves. He says it's going to be a dangerous time because men shall be lovers of their own selves. They're going to be covetous men. Covetousness. It means to be aggressively eager to obtain and possess, directed primarily to money or goods. So it's going to be a dangerous time because men are lovers of themselves, because they're covetous, because they're boasters. You know, boasting is one who boasts or glories or vaunts as a show. They're going to be proud people. They're going to be blasphemers. One word, one who speaks of God in impious and irreverent terms. Blasphemers. Those that are disobedient to parents. Oh, there's a lot of that going on today. Young people that are disobedient to parents. They're rebels. The Bible says it's going to be a dangerous time because people are going to be unthankful. Oh, listen, boy, it is a very important thing to be a thankful person. Amen. And really, your memory verse for the week, that's just reminding, be thankful to God and turn your heart to them. And unholy. And then the Bible says in verse number 3, without natural affection. You know, God gave my wife and I 4 precious children. Now we've got 6 grandchildren, 4 boys and 2 little girls. And it's very natural for a girl to play with a little baby doll, feed the baby doll, feed her, you know, act like she's feeding her and changing her diaper and taking care of her and wrapping blankets around them. It's very unnatural for a mother to dump her baby in a dumpster. But that's where we're at today. The Bible says in perilous times, in the last days, perilous times shall come without natural affection. How about this next one, verse number 3, truce breakers. One who violates a truce or covenant or an engagement, a truce breaker. And then the Bible says false accusers, amen, that are accusing people falsely, incontinent. That's talking about people that are not able to restrain the passions or appetites, particularly the sexual appetites. In other words, they have indulging lust without restraint or in violation of law and unchaste and lewd. Oh, we're listening that I was talking to having fellowship with a brother today, and we were talking about how what a crazy world this is. Do you know that Facebook gives people 58 different identities for gender, 58 different ones? Can you imagine that we live in a nation, in a time right now that is so confused at that? Amen. Just absolutely amazing. Incontinent fears. Those that are violent and those that are outrageous and they have no restraint. Despisers of those that are good. Boy, are we living in that time right now. Amen. Despisers of those that are good. And then it says in traitors. Isn't it amazing? All I'm doing is giving you these Bible words and I'm giving it I'm giving you a description of them and how they're so applicable to the time that we're living in right now. Traitor. A traitor is one who violates his allegiance and betrays his country. One who is guilty of treason. One who in breach of trust delivers his country to his enemy. All I'm doing is just looking at the Bible. All I'm doing is giving you a word in the Bible and I'm giving you the definition of the Bible. And man, we're there. I mean, listen, there are many people that are traitorous right now to the American people. Traitors. One guilty of treason. One in breach of trust. Delivers his country to its enemy. Or any fort or place entrusted to his defense. One who surrenders an army or body of troops to the enemy, unless when vanquished, or one who takes arms and levies war against his country, or one who aids an enemy in conquering his country. I mean, isn't that absolutely mind-boggling? Isn't that just so applicable to right now, where we're living today? You see, God said in the last days, you better understand that perilous times are going to come. And we're living in those times. And they're so dangerous, they're so perilous because of the evil men that are present during that time. And then he says, heady. The word heady. The word heady means to disposed to rush forward in an enterprise without thought or without deliberation, hurried on by will or passion, ungovernable. And oh, listen, do you know that it's impossible to separate my Christianity from my politics? I can't separate my Christianity from my entertainment. I can't separate my Christianity from my relationships. When I got born again, it moves into every single facet of my life. Amen? And so we see those things here, and we see such headiness. Our political leaders making decisions, heady decisions, without looking at the consequences of their decisions. What is it going to do to the citizens? What is it going to do to the work ethic? What is it going to do to people? What is it going to do to culture? What's it going to do to character? They rush into these ventures with such headiness and no thought. It seems like what the consequences are. You see, he's reminding us that perilous times shall come. Why? Because of the abundance of the men that we're talking about seeing right here. Heady, high-minded, which means to be inflated with conceit, to be lifted up with pride, just high-minded, an elitist status. We know what's taking place. We know what's going on. You're just a bunch of peons. We're an elitist. We're above everybody. We're going to decide. Such headiness and high-mindedness. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And the Bible says the scary thing about it is, he says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. So he's telling us about these perilous days. And then in verse number 6 to verse number 13, we talk about these evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So I think the Bible is telling us really what we are up against today. Amen? But anybody can do that. Anybody can say, this is what we're up against. Amen? We don't need to spend a lot of time on that. What we need to know is, what do we do about it? Amen? What is God's plan? What does God tell us to do about these things? Well, we're going to learn about what God tells us to do on how to not just survive in perilous times, but how to thrive in perilous times. Amen? You see, if we're going to thrive in perilous times, we don't need to rethink our positions. We don't need to rewrite our history. We don't need to revise our Bibles. We don't need to redefine words. We don't need to reinvent church. We don't need to retire our convictions. And we certainly don't need to reconstruct our doctrines. Here's what we need to do, starting with verse number 14. Look what it says. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. You know, I think I've learned enough about Brother Hartman to know that he is a Bible preacher. I heard him preach at the Bible conference in Frederick just a few months ago. Amen. And then the pastor that served here for a number of years, amen, to see the spiritual maturity of the majority of the membership here, it tells me a lot that you know about good Bible preaching, good solid Bible preaching. But you have to ask yourself, am I learning it? Am I putting into practice? Amen. You have to continue in the things which you have learned. That's what he says. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Oh, I remember when I was still in my father's home there. My dad was a general contractor, and he always had tools, and he let us, his sons, to use his tools, but we had to just always put them back. Sometimes we put them back, sometimes we didn't, and my dad had a very, very good way of reminding us to put them back. Amen. I don't have to go there, but it was a very patriotic way of describing it. He provided the stripes while we saw the stars. Amen. But use my tools, but put them back. And I remember one day my brother just under me had one of his drills, and he was just messing with it. My dad used to always tell us, boys, you've got to respect these tools. These are professional tools. They're power tools, and you got to respect them. And if you stop respecting them, they're going to hurt you. All right, these got strong motors and RPMs and had cutting torches and welders and all kinds of saws and drills and planers and all that kind of stuff. And I remember my brother Larry was messing around, wasn't doing anything constructive. He was just messing around with one of my dad's drills. And my dad saw him and he said, son, he said, you better watch out for that drill. That drill will hurt you. Respect that drill. And my brother was just messing around, wasn't really doing anything with it, just playing around with it. And he squeezed that trigger. It had probably about a quarter of an inch bit on the end of it. And that bit touched his T-shirt. And in a matter of no time, that bit wound up that T-shirt. And before my brother could let go of the trigger, it was all the way up to his neck. And had roughed up his, you know, that kind of a road rash on his belly. Well, my dad heard the commotion, and he stepped out, and he looked, and he said to my brother, he said, well, son, did you learn anything? Amen? Well, my brother did learn something. Amen? You better learn to respect these tools. Well, I'm telling you, my friend, you better learn some things. Amen? When you're in church, you better learn some things. And this is the way you thrive in perilous times. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Amen? And you know what I've learned that really works is prayer works. Amen? I mean, God says, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I've got right here a name on my notes. And it goes back to a revival meeting that I did in Mount Union, Pennsylvania. And we were meeting every afternoon to go out soul winning, knocking on doors, but also making some visits. And the associate pastor and I was going to a man, they said, everybody said, he's rough and he's mean and he really don't like to talk to people, but he's been on our prayer list. And during our revival meeting, we're going to follow up on these people that we've been praying for. Amen. Man, if you got somebody on a prayer list, amen, they're a lost people and they're on a prayer list, then you got to eventually take time to go visit them. Amen. So we went to make this visit. He had been on a prayer list, and people said he really doesn't like to talk to people, but he's been on the prayer list. So the associate and I went and knocked on his door. And we knocked on his door, and he invited us into his house. Now, for some reason, he just took a liking to me. Amen? I mean, I don't know why, but we got to talking about outdoors, and I like to fish and hunt and those kind of things. And we just kind of just bonded with that. And we just started connecting. And I could just tell, I could just tell this guy has taken a liking to me. Amen? But I knew that, listen, I could only talk about fishing and hunting for a while. I was there for the gospel, amen? And there was a time when I was just going to have to just confront him with it about his soul, about the need of his soul, about the condition of his soul. Has he ever been saved? And I remember I talked a little bit about it, and I knew this is going to have to be it. And I called his name, and I said, well, let me ask you this question. I said, if something tragic were to happen to you, do you know for sure you're going to go to heaven, or do you have any doubts about it? He said, I don't know. I said, well, I'd like to show you what the Bible says. He said, I'd like to see it. And I remember that associate pastor, I mean, his jaw just dropped. I mean, because this man, I mean, he didn't like preachers. He didn't want to talk about God. He didn't want to talk to anybody. But you know what? Somebody had been praying for him. Amen. Somebody had been praying for him. Amen. Oh, listen, thank God for prayer, but we got to learn to pray for the lost. And I remember I went into the plan of salvation, and the plan of salvation that I use, it's seven verses. It's not the Romans Road. It uses some verses in Romans, but the first three verses are hard verses. I mean, listen, I mean, they start out, you know, with Romans 5:12 talking about the original sin with Adam, and then I go right to Revelation 21:8 and Revelation 20:12. We talk about everybody being a sinner, and then I go through that list in Revelation 21:8. The Bible says, but the fearful, those are people that are cowards. They won't get saved because they're cowards. They're afraid of what their family, their friends are going to say. They won't ever get born again because they're chicken, they're cowards. And I explain all those words, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And after I've talked about that verse, I go to Revelation 20:12-15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. I'm telling you, listen, it's like hanging them over hell on a grapevine, amen? And I remember that, the associate pastor, man, I just felt that God gave me a holy boldness to talk to that man like that. And I remember that your associate pastor, I mean, he was just so intense. He wouldn't even look up at that man because it felt like it might break his concentration. And I tell you what, I took that man through the plan of salvation, and he so sweetly called upon the Lord to be that day. It wasn't Oliver Areza. It was somebody had been praying for him. I'm telling you, I know what works is prayer works. Amen. You know, my mentor, Dr. Boyd, used to say, everybody needs to make a sweetheart prospect list, a list of names of people that are lost, and you're praying for them to be saved. Listen, I heard all day today about all, and it's wonderful to have a church family that is so concerned about your health and about all these needs that we have. But as believers, when we die, we're going to glory. Amen. I mean, there gets to a point where we're just like willing to say, stop praying for me. I don't want to live no more. Let me go to heaven. Amen. And boy, they're just ready to go, like my former pastor. He was ready, man, to march into eternity. But the ones that need prayer are the lost. And I'm telling you, listen, I'll tell you what works. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. I have learned that prayer works. I'll tell you another little amazing story about prayer. I worked at a camp for a number of years, and my daughter came to me one day and she said, Dad, I'd like to have a dog. I'd like to get me a coon dog. I said, I used to always say every kid needs a dog, but, you know, as an evangelist, I don't really need to worry about feeding anything. I got to be able to go. Now, it's just me and my wife at home right now, and I don't even let her have a pet rock, amen? I don't want to have to feed nothing, amen? I don't want to have to worry about nothing. I got to be able to lock the door and head down the road. But I finally gave in to my daughter, and I said, all right, sweetheart, you can get your coon dog. I can't remember what kind it was. She named him Chevy. That dog was always broke down. Oh, I'm just kidding, all right, amen? But anyway, she stayed on this cable, had about a maybe 10-foot chain, and then we had a cable from one tree to the other where she'd go up and down, and every now and then she'd get loose, and that was a hyper dog. She'd just go everywhere. And one night, somebody left her off the chain, unhooked her, and she was just out in the woods everywhere. Now, the people at the camp, they work hard all week. I mean, they work hard. And it was like a Saturday night, maybe Friday night, and everybody's resting. And about 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, Chevy, she trees a coon, and she's barking. And it wakes me up. And I'm telling you, listen, I usually don't have too much trouble going back to sleep, but I just kept thinking, all these people, they work so hard, they need their rest. I got to go get that dog. And it was a full moon night. I mean, the moon was so bright you could see your shadow down on the ground. It was just incredible, and all kinds of critters were out. And I told my son, I said, Joel, put your boots on, son, get some clothes on. We got to go get this dog. So we went out there, and I knew where she was. She was just a little knoll over by a boys' dorm. There weren't any boys there, but families lived there, and I'm sure it woke them up. So we walked over there, and as soon as Chevy saw us, she shot up the hill to the next flat. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, I'm going to be chasing this coon dog all over this county. So we went up there, and boom, she shot up to the next one. And then she's running here and running there and barking. And I said, son, there is just absolutely no way whatsoever we're going to ever catch that dog. I don't know anything to do, but, son, we just better pray about it. I don't know what else to do. So I just said, son, let's pray. So we just stopped, and I said, now, Lord, you know these people at this camp, they work hard, and they need their rest. And this dog woke me up, and I'm sure it's awakened many other folks here. So, Lord, I just need you to bring that dog. I need you to bring that dog to me. There's no way I can chase that dog down. And I thought to myself, man, do I pray this in Jesus' name or what? Amen. I don't think I was brave enough to say in Jesus' name about bringing a dog to me. And I was done. And Chevy was just out of, there was a little meadow right here. The directors lived right over there. Workers lived over here. And she was just out of the view in this meadow, just into the darkness of the trees. And I finished praying. And I said, well, son, let's see. And I'm telling you, that dog walked out of the darkness into that meadow. And that dog walked directly right straight to where my son and I were and sat down. I got the leash. I put it on her. I said, let's go home, son. Let's go home. And I'm telling you, that dog looked at me as if she was saying, somebody told me to. Amen. I mean, it was amazing. And I'm telling you, folks, God hears our prayers. He hears our prayers. And I'll tell you, that works. What do we do to thrive in perilous times? You continue in the things which thou hast learned. And I'm telling you, I know that prayer works. God hears the prayers of his people. We need to be a praying people. I'm very, very happy to hear about this men's prayer fellowship. Amen. And that you're praying and then you have a time of fellowship and breakfast. What a wonderful thing. I just did one of those last week. God gave us a wonderful time. Amen. Oh, listen, men, bring your, can they bring their boys to it, or is it just have to be grown men? All right, so bring the young men and bring the teenage men. And about this work night that's coming up, man, listen, bring the boys in. There's just something about men working together, amen, that's just faith building and fellowship. Do the things that you know. How do you thrive? You continue in the things which thou hast learned. What are you learning anything? Well, I tell you, I have learned that prayer works. I have learned that soul winning works. I have learned that giving works. Amen. Oh, everybody's worried about gas prices. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Amen. Listen, the only thing I know what we're going to do is we're going to continue to do the things that we know we're supposed to do, and I'm supposed to give my tithes and my offerings, and I want to support missions. Amen. I'm telling you, it works. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Amen. I know that going to church works. Amen. How do you thrive in perilous times? Well, I'm giving you four things that you do to thrive in perilous times. The second thing is, the Bible says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and thou hast been assured of. Amen. So, man, there's just some things that you need to be absolutely assured. So you continue in the things that you're assured of. I am absolutely assured that I've been saved. Amen. They can't blow me where God can't find me. Praise the Lord. I am saved and I'm saved eternally. Amen. I'm just going to rejoice in it. I'm going to shout about it. I'm going to have my own revival meeting. I can have a revival in my heart just by going back to the day that I got born again. God came into my life. Amen. Continue in the things that you're assured of. I know that I've been saved. I know that I've been called to preach. Amen. I'm telling you what, I love to preach the Word of God. Now, that's not in my nature.
But God called me to preach, and I'm almost to the point where I'd rather preach than eat. Almost, amen. I know that's what God called me to do, amen. Oh, listen, I've got my convictions settled down, amen. I've got them. I know what I believe about the Bible. I know what I believe about my Christianity. I know what I believe about separation from the world and going on for God. When perilous times come, how do we thrive? We do the things that we've learned that works. We stay to those things that we're assured of. My calling, my conversion, my commission, my conviction. What do we do to thrive in perilous times? Number three, the Bible says, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. So you got to remember and honor the ones that discipled you. Now, remember, I was born and raised in the Dallas, Texas area. That's where I got saved. And there's men in that area there, that region, that had a lot of influence on me and a lot of the churches in that area there. And one of those men is a man by the name of Brother Lester Roloff. I don't know if you ever heard Brother Lester Roloff. He was a powerful, powerful preacher. He operated some homes for troubled boys and girls down in near Corpus Christi. And he was a powerful man. The state of Texas came against him, and they wanted to shut his ministries down. But I tell you, Brother Roloff didn't back up. I mean, he was just a bold man. I love him. I play him on my radio station every day. Brother Roloff and Oliver B. Green are the two men that preach every day on our radio station. I just like to be associated with him. Brother Roloff, he was a kind of a health person. He ate healthy, and he believed in that. And, of course, he helped drug addicts and drunkards to get off of that kind of stuff. And, man, he'd just give them a right diet. And, I mean, he was just firm about it. I remember one time I heard him preach on the radio. He says, I heard him preach myself. I heard him on my station. He was talking about, you just cater to that flesh. Oh, that flesh, you just do everything that flesh wants you to do. He says, you get in that shower and you're in that warm water like a walrus. He says, turn that hot water off and take a cold shower and buffet the flesh. Well, I thought to myself, I'm turning this off. I don't want to hear this. Amen. Oh, he'd preach about things of health, and he had this thing about deodorant, man, using deodorant. He'd say that deodorant will plug up your sweat glands. It'll give you cancer. And somebody told me about a time when they heard Brother Roloff preach that. They took their youth group there. And he said every teenage boy in his youth group came forward and gave up deodorant. Amen. Oh, I'm just kidding about that. Amen. Well, I think about these great people that influenced me. Brother Joe Boyd, Brother Jack Hiles, Lester Roloff, John Rice. These great, great men. I mean, listen, he says, but continue thou in the things thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Amen. Oh, listen, that's who I want to be like. Amen. Those men, those are my mentors. They're the people I look to. Amen. I look to the Apostle Paul and these people in the New Testament, these powerful preachers and Jeremiah. And these great men, he says, you better honor the ones that discipled you in the Lord. And then he says, last of all, look at verse number 15. And he says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures that are able to make thee wise unto salvation. If you're going to thrive in perilous times, number four, you need to know the holy scriptures. Amen. And isn't it good that God gives us, tells us that his word is preserved. The Bible says in Psalm 12, 6 and 7, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And isn't it amazing that God said when it comes to the purification of his words that he used it as silver? Do you know that silver is a natural antibiotic? Probably some of you today are familiar with the supplement colloidal silver. It's purified waters that has nanoparticles of silver. That's why we call eating utensils, we call it silverware, because that was the intent. You use silverware that has a silver content to it because silver is a natural antibiotic.
when babies are born in America, doctors put silver nitrate. The first thing they do is they put silver nitrate in their eyes because silver is a natural antibiotic. It fights infection. It fights corruption. And God said, my word is purified as silver. God is going to make sure that we have no rot, that we don't have any corruption in our Bible. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. The old timers that came, that went from the east going to the west used to say, if you put a silver dollar in a jug of milk, it'll last longer because silver fights infection. And God says, my word is purified like silver. He's going to make sure that there's no rot, there's no mistakes, there's no corruption. Amen. Know the Holy Scriptures that are able to make thee wise unto salvation. They're preserved. They're inspired. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. They're in Aaron. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. They are infallible. Listen to the poetic style of Psalm 19, beginning with verse number 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Amen. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. Amen. More to be desired are they than gold. Yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and than the honeycomb. I'll tell you how we can thrive in perilous times, because I believe that's what God wants us to do. Amen. We're not just surviving. We're just not treading water with our heads barely above the water, not sinking or drowning. God wants us to thrive. And we thrive by learning and not turning away from it, connecting ourselves with those that God used in our lives to disciple us. Amen. Oh, listen, and knowing those things that you're assured of, and knowing the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. The Apostle Paul said to Timothy, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. And they're perilous, they're dangerous, because of all the men that make it up. And we're there. I read the definitions to those words. We're there. So what's God's plan for us? Well, God's plan is that we thrive. And I believe when we look at this here, it teaches us how to thrive. Amen? Thrive. Oh, I don't know about you, but I feel I get a lot of comfort and assurance when I read that verse. The Bible says that we are more than conquerors to him that loved us. Amen? That we have been given the victory. It says, this is Victory Baptist Church. Amen. We have been given the victory. Do you know, folks, that we are not fighting for victory? We're not fighting for it. We already have it. He gave it to us. That's a pretty good verse for Victory Baptist Church. Amen. We're not fighting for it. I'm on the winning side. I'm a winner either way, if I go or if I stay. Amen. I'm not fighting for victory. I'm fighting from the side of victory. It changes my whole perspective about how I look at this event, how I look at these days here. Amen. I'm not just surviving. I'm thriving. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty cranked about living right now. I like it. Amen. I love what I get to do. And I'm just amazed. And I thank God that God put me in this unique time right now in the history of mankind. He put me right here. He trusted me. He put me to do his will. Amen. To continue and to know the scriptures. He doesn't want me just to survive. He wants us to thrive in perilous times. So I don't have to be nervous or worried about it or fret. Amen. Or back up. Oh, no. thrive in it. And we've showed how we can do that. Let's stand together, shall we, with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Everybody standing, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You listen so well tonight.